Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Welcome to Nightlight Matrix. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk, inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation these days. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the light workers, and you answer that call from all walks of life and from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles. Some are called watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and well, that list, it goes on and on and on, and it's just as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our very own individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call creation, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Lynn Buss today, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our personal lights. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to experience more of that amazing voice. I'm at barbaradelong.com, and our special guest today, Lynn Buss, can be found at forevernumerology.com. And I want to tell you a little bit about Lynn before I bring him on. He is possibly the finest, absolutely the most spectacular numerologist I have ever met. Decades ago, lots of decades ago, I discovered his book, Numerology for the New Age. And I wore it out. I literally, absolutely wore it out. I loaned it to people. I had to buy new copies. I swear by it. It was probably the very finest book ever on numerology that I've ever read. And I put it up on my website because I recommended it because I thought it was so fabulous. And apparently, somehow, he managed to find it on my website and wrote me a thank you, and we started to talk. And he has come on the show a number of times to talk about numerology. His latest book, which is Forever Numerology, or The Heart of Numerology, I can't remember which, he'll tell us which, it's The Heart of Numerology. His website's Forever Numerology, is even more spectacular than Numerology for the New Age. And while I won't lend that one out, I am fast coming to wear it out, going back into it, and trying to figure things out, and it's phenomenal. He has added a more spiritual flavor to the aspect of numerology than a lot of numerologists, and it makes it unique, it makes it insightful, it makes it spiritually uplifting, and it's phenomenal. It's almost scary how intense and how accurate he can be by just taking your birthday or your name and getting the different numbers from those aspects of you. And I am always constantly amazed by him. Today is special because we've both done predictions for 2014, so we're going to see just, you know, how accurate the two of us can actually be. But I want to pull Lynn on. Hi, Lynn. How are you doing? This is Barb.
Hi, Barbara. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. The new book is The Heart of Numerology, right? Or is
right.
there another one now?
Okay. Well, actually there is. I've just finished one I call I call it Numerology of Astrology, Degrees of the Sun. And I've applied the numerology insight along with the astrological combinations for all the degrees of all the zodiac. So that is the latest. It's just out within the last week.
Holy mackerel. Well,
but Heart of Numerology is my kind of, it's my pride and joy of numerology. You know, it sums up 50 years of experience and personal insight, psychological insight, spiritual insight, and I'm very, very pleased with that particular volume.
Oh, I found it easier to read than Numerology for the New Age. And it wasn't that you had simplified it. What you did was you made it more spiritually oriented so that I just ate it up. It was really, it's an amazing book. And your website as well, anybody who is curious about what your different numbers are, Lynn has a fabulous calculator on his website, which is Forever Numerology. And you can put your name at birth into his little calculator there, and it gives you all of your different numbers, whether they're personal or soul numbers or karmic numbers or whatever. And it's a fabulous website. You can get lost on it for hours and hours and hours. And it's absolutely magical. Now, I know you moved since last I've had you on the show, so you're at a different location. Are you feeling the energy more stable where you are now?
Yeah, I chose where I'm at, among other reasons, based on astral cartography.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things it said is that you're going to have to face some of your deepest and darkest issues, particularly with parents and kind of deep, dark, hidden stuff. And as you do that and as you clear that out, you will become more recognized and more honored and gain recognition because of the clarity, and your intuition will be razor sharp. And all of that's been happening. I've been through some really horrendous cleansing processes, but as you know, when the cleansing is done, you come out on the other side with expanded awareness and I think greater clarity of vision, and that has happened too, so it's been great.
Now, when you chose this new location, did you do it with numerology in mind, or were you just inspired to go there?
Well, it's a bit of a long story to tell the whole story, but a little bit of each. There were friends that were living where I was before that had come here, and then I came to visit and do some sessions, and it just clicked, you know. And I did do the numerology. I'm in a city that's a 11-22-33 city.
Oh, wow.
Numerologically, which is kind of interesting. I have a 22 soul number and a 22 life number. So I think there's good things that can happen here.
That's phenomenal. Well, you know, and that's something else I think people have to understand, that numerology can be so precise, it's almost frightening. It's not just a general number for this and a general number for that. It really can be very, very intricate and very precise. And when it comes to things like finding a new area that is going to nurture your spirit and allow you to really just sort of really get into the nitty-gritty of whatever it is you need to get into, it's a wonderful tool to use. And that calculator that you have on your website really helps people to get into the, you know, what are your different numbers and how do they apply to your reality and how do they apply to your career and your love life and your ambition and your career and everything else. It's just, it's unbelievable.
It's a really good match with the Heart of Numerology book and with Forever Numerology. My son did that, actually. I'm real pleased with his work.
Oh, it's beautiful. You know, much as I like to try to do all the calculations myself, it's so much easier to go onto your calculator and just stick in my name and just get the numbers out, my name and my birth date. But it has been an amazing tool for me to use, and I know for a lot of other people, because it is meant to be a tool. It isn't just meant to be, oh, yeah, that sounds like me. That's my character. That's that. But it's something you should be able to use and to help to unravel some of the knots that we come up against in life. And it has been spectacular. I am slightly intuitive myself, but every now and then it helps to have another very objective viewpoint coming in, and the numbers just have been amazing in my life. I know I've used them. Like I said earlier, I have used your stuff for decades now. It's a little scary to be able to say that.
Yeah. Well, I think we talked about it on previous shows, and I think what adds an extra dimension to my work is that I have 3 degrees in psychology. I actually wrote my master's thesis on numbers and the symbolism of tarot, and then I actually wrote my second graduate degree on numerology, as we've mentioned before. So there is, and then I've included insights from 40 years or so of practice. Part of that, I was practiced as a psychotherapist, and I've worked those concepts, a lot of those concepts, into the numbers. So that's why it goes really deep into the unconscious, and I think it goes really high into the superconscious, and I think that's what makes it a special work.
Well, absolutely, and you know, the reason that we are gathering together today is that both of us have taken a fling at doing forecasts for 2014. And mine are all up on my website if anybody wants to check them out. Are yours on your website, or are they going to be?
No, I haven't actually gotten it up yet. It'll probably be another week or two. I usually put it up right around Christmas time. But having done this show, that'll speed it up, and I'll try to actually have it posted within about probably a week to 10 days before mine goes online.
Okay. Well, you know, when I sat down and I started to look at doing the forecast for 2014, there was a part of me that, you know, usually I try to keep it very la-la-la-la-la, and it, that didn't happen this year. and so, you know, I sat back and I started to look at it, and I thought, oh, this must be wrong. And I walked away from it a couple times, and I came back to it, and damned if it wasn't still the same. So I'm seeing a lot of, on a spiritual level, I think it's going to be a fabulous year. But on a physical level, those who are locked into political stuff, it's going to be horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing, you know, more earthquakes and natural disasters, and I'm also seeing a lot of them also triggered by the government. So that it isn't just Mother Nature, it's the government trying to control things. And it felt to me as though sometime this year the government is going to try to manipulate weather, and it's going to get out of control, and there's going to be a huge disaster. And I'm not sure when it is, but I do feel that is coming. So how are you feeling about that type of stuff?
So I'll tell you what I'd like to do is I'd like to kind of do an overview, if I could, of my perception, and then we'll get into the details. Would that be okay?
That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
And I'd like to put in a disclaimer that I don't claim to be a prophet or any super-duper natural powers. I think I'm a pretty intuitive numerologist, and I use numbers as a reference to look back at events that have happened and then make my conclusions. And it's more of a hobby, you know, but I've done this for 8 or 9 years, and I've hit some pretty extraordinarily accurate things, and I've missed too, you know, so... that's part of it, but what I like to do is just...
In other words, you're human. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. I just noticed that this year.
Oh, God. Well,
what I would like to say, you know, if I could, just a minute, to, as I say, to put it into a reference, and then we can kind of go back and forth on details, but I look at it sort of cosmologically and numerologically, and I look back to 2012,
yeah.
And 2012 to me is a key to this, because 2012, as I look back, you know, pretty much more cosmologically with the numbers, I see 2012 as the year of awakening. And, you know, I think a lot of people were touched, and a lot of people that had been mainstream and restless but not really searching began to feel like, you know, something's happening, and maybe I need to wake up, and I don't quite know where to turn, and I don't quite know what's happening, but, you know, I hope to find it. And then I look at 2013 as it goes by, and to me, 2013 is a year of cleansing, and, you know, looking at our karma, looking at the dysfunction in our families. I know I've gone through, I don't know if we talked about it on another show, but I went through what I call 4 days of healing hell this year, clearing out some debris and issues that I thought I had done a good job on, and I'm in a year that deals a lot with feminine energy, and my mother passed away recently, and I went through a really, I won't say devastating, but very difficult female rejection in a relationship that I thought might be, you know, lasting forever. And that stirred up a lot of really deep stuff. And as I, you know, as I look at the clients and work with clients, almost everyone that I saw were working on really deep, deep, dark stuff that was coming to the surface. And if you know, for those who process that and work on that and have been doing their homework this year, I sort of see on the bright side, 2014 is the year that I call the year of grace. And that would be the spiritual side, and that to me means that those people who have been doing their homework and have been clearing, I think that we're going to see a lot of people really deeply blessed with what I would call spiritual or cosmic awakening or gifts and remembrances of their, you know, their eternal self and their ongoing self. And in that sense, I think it's just an extraordinary opportunity for revelation and mystical awakening and deep, deep spiritual transformation. So that's kind of an overview that I'm seeing happening.
Well, I would have to agree with you on that. It just, to me, it's really kind of interesting because I really basically got sort of the same stuff. Not so much as you know, looking at, you know, the 2012 coming into an awakening, I can absolutely go along with that because I think 2020, you know, 11/11 and all of that stuff, everybody thinking the world was going to come to an end, and then, of course, it didn't. And it was the end of a major cycle, and that end of a major cycle meant that the 2012 was a new beginning, and it was an awakening. I absolutely saw people this year, not this year, but 2012, waking up and having greater awareness as to the talents, the gifts, and the directions that their life had. And then this year, I absolutely will go along with you on the cleansing bit. I have seen people going through horrendous transformational processes, and not all, and they're, you know, it's sort of like birthing a new aspect of yourself, and the whole concept of birthing, it's not comfortable. It's sometimes painful.
Yeah.
And yet, when you know, when you're all done, you have just something new and wonderful to sort of apply to your reality when we come to next year. This has definitely been a year in which everybody has struggled, as far as I can see. And it's amazing the kind of traumas that where the psychic fairs used to be mostly, you know, well, when am I going to find a boyfriend and when am I going to do this? Now they're, how do I survive? And it's people just, you know, looking at me like I have the answer, and I don't. I mean, you know, I can give people suggestions, but everyone's different and everyone has different things that will be the trigger point within their life. And everybody has to find that trigger point. And sometimes the universe gets tired of us waiting, you know, to find it, and they just hit us over the head with it. But that's unfortunately, that's the way I usually end up doing things. I'm so cautious about not wanting to make a mistake that I will put things off overly long, and then the universe just hits me over the head with it, you know, this way, dummy. And if somebody would write a book on awakening, evolution, and ascension for dummies, it would be a bestseller for sure. But unfortunately, it's different for everybody. But from what I'm seeing, as far as individuals as a whole, the cutoff point, there is an absolute line that is drawn. Those people who are locked in the physical and don't have any spiritual aspects within their life, and I know that they all have spiritual aspects, but they're not awake to them and they're not using them, those people are struggling horribly. Those people who have a spiritual understanding of how the flow goes and what's happening and you know, the hurdles and lessons that come towards them, their challenges, and they should be, you know, embraced, and we should be excited about them and move beyond them, of course. I mean, those people, I think, are going to have a spectacular 2014. I think it's going to be an awakening and a finding of wonderful talents, and it's going to be just phenomenal. But the other folks, I clump into that other group that are going to struggle and have difficulty, large corporations, governments, and religions.
Yeah. So to follow that theme for a moment, if I could, what I would like to do for a moment also, because you're going in almost exactly the same direction that I'm feeling, but I'd like to set that up by talking about the number 7. So 2014, you take 2 plus 1 is 3 plus 4 is 7. We call it the universal year.
Yeah.
So 7 is a number. 7 is really tricky in personal charts, and it's a tricky wicket to deal with, because 7 is basically the number of mind. It is mental. And so we're dealing in a reality that is heavily mental and heavily scientific and heavily intellectual and academic. And we get weighed down in that, and we overlook the fact that 7, the higher level or the feminine or intuitive side of 7 is the intuitive mind, and going beyond the rational and reaching out through the intuitive mind into the universal mind to accept new archetypes and new truths and new energies. And so what you're saying is sort of true. The opening side of 7 is that elevation to mystical and spiritual realms and dreams. The other side is fear. And when you have fear of the intuition and fear of reaching out, then you have dogma, you have rigidity, you have stagnation in scientific or intellectual truths. You have people who control the dogma and who control the science, and who control the media, that want to hold on And then, as you say, you know, it becomes repressive, it becomes dark, it becomes frightening. And so it's a kind of another way of saying exactly what you're feeling, confirmation by numbers.
Wow. It you know, I think what got me, especially when I was doing this, I'm not a person who is politically oriented. I'm just not. I vote the person, not the party, and I just more intuitively pick my poison, so to speak. But it felt to me as though our government is in for a horrific time, and it almost felt as though there was going to have to be a reorganization of it. Have you gotten into anything to do with our government at all?
Well, you know what you're saying. There are people that feel, for example, that it was actually an underwater detonation that triggered the earthquake in Japan in 2011.
Yeah.
You know, there's speculation with that. I don't know. I can't prove it, but it feels like it's a possibility. They've been manipulating weather for a long time. There's just a lot of suggestion, and it feels like that we're being set up for another what we call false flag attack. And one of them is that, among other things, they may actually use a fake alien invasion to create fear and to create a further control. Now, I don't, you know, those are things that are in the air, and it would be typical of this of what I'm seeing, because there one side of the seven, looking back through history, is the adherence to dogma, to propaganda, to disinformation, to lies. So people are going to have to really be discerning, you know, in this coming year, to separate fear and to separate false information and to, you know, to stay centered within their own truth. And that's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, I got into the UFO stuff as well. And the feeling that I got was that truth is going to come out in spite of all of the efforts that have been put forward to cover things up. And,
yeah,
and so,
I'm feeling that too. But I've said that now for several years. if we lived in an honest world, that truth would have come out a long time ago. But it's been controlled. But the encouraging thing is, now, almost every government in the world now is opening up and admitting it, and the one still holding on to keeping it from the public is our country. You know, if
yeah,
you look in
true.
Russia, China, England, France, Spain, Brazil, Japan, they're all opening up and saying, you know, more or less that we have contact, they're here, they're extraterrestrial, and it's got to come out, or else people pretty soon are just going to figure out the lie, and then the embarrassment will be greater than the control that has been maintained.
Well, what I was getting was that large corporate structures, and that includes government and religion, they all work through fear and through threat. And the thing that they want is for us to be frightened and fearful so they can manipulate us. And
exactly.
You know, the bottom line I got was that you know, the only reason there's poverty, hunger, homelessness, and not enough jobs is because that's the way the corporate entities want it. And
yeah.
so that you know, once we all understand that you know, if we can band together with love and commonality, we don't need governments or, excuse me, everybody, and I hope I don't insult too many people, or religion. And you know...
I think it goes beyond the corporation. I think it goes beyond the people that have the money, that control the corporations and control the governments, and you know, that profit, literally, by maintaining the lie.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, I mean, it's possible this is the year that the lie breaks. There's just a lot happening, and you know, that's the intuitive side. If people trust their intuition, it's the feminine energy that's important now. You know, it's important for women to wake up and stand up and collectively, you know, make a statement from the feminine side of compassion, of intuition, of caring, of vision, of empowerment, that sort of thing. And if men, you know, trust their feminine side and look beyond the logic, look beyond the traps, look beyond the fear, then collectively we can wake up and these traps and these lies and these games aren't going to work anymore.
Well, they certainly worked, though, for a very, very long time. And
well, they've got a lot of power and a lot of money.
That's very true. It's too bad there are no rich women out there, isn't it? I mean,
I don't think it's going to come only from powerful people. It's got to come from awakening of the masses and collectively people to stand up and honor themselves and speak out. And I think there are a majority of really good people on the planet, but I'm wondering, where are they, you know, because they're so duped and so afraid and caught in the folly. So it's a matter of, you know, connecting. That's what it's all about to me, is connecting to the truth, trusting intuition, using discernment, and standing up and waking up and saying, I don't want to participate in this any longer.
But you know, Lynn, it's been going on for so long that things that could have been spotted as a lie early on now have become almost fact, and people are quoting them as though they are fact, and they're not. I mean, when you look into the biblical stuff, all of the stuff in the Bible is now, you know, coming into question because of frame of reference and vocabulary and stuff like that. So our history, the things that we have thought for generations have been carved in stone are no longer carved in stone. And so the foundation for just about everything we believe in is not as sturdy as we thought it was once was. If indeed the aliens have been mistaken as gods, and if indeed those that we thought were gods are just extraterrestrials that were here to watch us and help us and stuff like that, then that shakes everything up. And then it's sort of like everybody is kind of like, oh my gosh, now who are we and who really are we and what are, you know, why are we here and what is the purpose of life itself? Which I think that's exciting. That's very exciting.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
But it's also scary to a lot of people. You know,
people who thrive on dogma and people who have control and people who have power that comes through dogma and control don't like to give it up.
Well, that's true. It's to the point where governments are doing horrendous things to the people that have put them in power. Are doing horrific things to the people to keep them in line. And more and more and more it's coming out, like our government in World War II or Korea, I can't remember which war, they sprayed LSD in the subways of New York just to see what it would do. I mean...
Yeah, well, it's worse, much worse things than that.
Well, of course they have.
It's also an issue of control and manipulation of the media and a whole sort of thing, you know.
But it does come down to, then, who do you trust?
Interestingly enough, for those who want to research, there's quite a bit of information, too, that's saying that the Catholic Church is preparing now to revise their whole perspective, just, you know, to accommodate the fact that yes, aliens are here, and to rework their whole, their whole structure to accommodate that, so as not to lose power. And they're about ready to come out with the announcement that yes, they're here, yes, they've been around, and you know, to develop a whole new exotheology to accommodate that, so as to not fall apart when the information comes out.
So what does that do to the Bible?
Well, that depends how you look at the Bible. You know, a lot of biblical scholars for the last few years have been pointing out that numerous episodes that were considered spiritual are, in fact, extraterrestrial. You know, the spinning wheel of Ezekiel and the burning bush of Moses and the apparition at Fatima and a lot of these things are, in fact, symbolic of extraterrestrial contact. And they're changing their story, so it's accommodate that and acknowledge that, and life will go on, but with a, you know, goodness knows how it's going to change and how it's going to affect the mass consciousness. And that's one of the mysteries that we will see unfold.
I think it's going to be absolutely fabulous, because 10 years ago, the aliens were monsters who were going to wipe us out, eat our brains, rape our partners and use babies for cannon fodder. And yes. Now if you look at the Ancient Aliens series, they're all benevolent and they're all, I am more on the benevolent side, by the way, but experiences with seeing UFOs and having close encounters of any kind does shift one into a more spiritual outlook on life itself. And that doesn't mean that it's, you know, they become nuns and priests and fall on their knees and worship whatever. It means that they have a more spiritual outlook on their fellow man, and they want to help humanity, and they want to serve humanity in some way, shape, or form. And so, you know, you're seeing a lot of that happening. You're seeing people changing dramatically. And when people are out of jobs, when people are looking for something to help them survive, if they hold to the same patterns that in the past have served them, they're going to find that there's nothing there. People have to change. People have to start to remold their whole philosophy as according to life. And those structures that have been there forever, like teachers. I mean, teachers can't get jobs anymore. I mean, the jobs that were always available are no longer there for people, and people have to be more inventive and creative and look at their own talents and skills and mold a job that fits them personally.
I would agree. I'm seeing that in the individual sessions that absolutely points to that invest in yourself. What is it that you truly do well, and honor that and develop that? And, you know, you're exactly right. The external is not stable any longer. But I wouldn't say this. I think you're a little optimistic to say that there are all these extraterrestrials running around are good and benevolent, because the duality goes up through, you know, several levels. And I would be inclined to say I don't agree with that, because There is indication what we would call the extraterrestrials that have their own agenda in mind that is not necessarily enlightened or the best for humanity. And then there are, I think, those who are of a higher nature that are stand for awakening and freedom and clarity. And I think the duality goes up, you know, through even the terrestrial extraterrestrial kingdoms. And one needs to be a little bit discerning about that also.
Well, I'd go along with that. I tend to agree with you. I mean, there are stories in the Bible that obviously were wars between extraterrestrials and stuff like that. So there are bad apples in every barrel. But I tend to lean more towards there are more good apples than there are bad apples.
I would share that in the sense that my perception is the good apples have sort of had their hands tied because of certain cosmic principles, and it would appear that they're given a little more freedom now to let go and be of more assistance and to, for lack of a better word, interact more with awakening humanity. Whereas before, you know, what is it they call it in Star Trek, the law of non-interference or something to that effect?
Non-intervention.
Non-intervention, yeah. And they're given, you know, everything that I'm looking at suggests that they're given a little more freedom to reveal a little more and to offer a little more, and that we have an opportunity as humanity to tap into those higher vibrations more easily and to gain the wisdom and assistance that might not have been as easily available before. That would be my perception. And that kind of goes along with the seven and the intuition and getting out of rigid 3D thinking and honoring what, you know, what some people speak of as the fourth and fifth dimension thinking.
Well, you know, you stepped into something that I've been playing with of late. I truly believe that, excuse me, all of these ships that we see in the sky and stuff like that, they aren't spaceships, they're interdimensional ships. I do feel that they go through dimensions as opposed to, you know, spending, you know, years or whatever with their warp drives getting to different universes. And my feeling, you know, my feeling here is that thousands of years ago, probably more than 10,000 years ago, and maybe even more than that, that somehow they interbreeded with humanity so that we are in a way related to them, so that there is a sense of a connection there. And I do feel that everyone has the DNA of whatever the extraterrestrials are. We have that kind of DNA.
Yes, acknowledging that in science now, there have been actual, you know, mainstream scientists that are saying that's exactly right. That we do have a mixture of human and to some extent extraterrestrial DNA. I think that kind of confirms your intuition about that one.
Well, if that is indeed the case, then the consciousness or the ability to tap into that consciousness is within each and every one of us if we take the trouble to try to do it.
Exactly. But it's through those rigid human barriers, it's not so easy.
You think?
I'm on a whole process. I've been through cleansing, and I'm coming out on the other side. You know, I told you about it. It just was horrendous, and now I'm writing songs. I'm having visions. I'm getting more connected cosmically and spiritually. I'm feeling freer. So it is possible, but even with that, you know, it's not easy to overcome that inbred 3D human programming.
Well, I mean, when you consider that we have been literally living, I don't want to call it lies, but I think our consciousness at some point in time, you know, didn't understand a lot of stuff, and so we made up fables or myths or stories to explain things, and now we're finding that a lot of the things that we thought were fables and myths are really, in truth, reality. And we have to sort of go back and reassess everything so that, you know, possibly even, you know, even fairy tales. I mean, when you look back at the Norse myths and the Greek and the Roman mythology, I think that, you know, you're talking Earth history. You're not talking...
Yeah.
Stories and fables.
I agree. I think you're talking memory rather than fables, exactly.
And so, if that's the case, I mean, what does it mean? I mean, where are we going? What is the destiny of man? You know, we all thought it was a celestial rest home in the sky, but it doesn't appear to be that.
It might be a little hard work before we get there.
A lot of hard work, I would think. Now, as a medium, I do speak with those who have passed over, with those who have moved on to, and I will call it now, the next dimension.
Uh-huh.
Now, so what does that mean? Are we moving dimensionally forward to kind of meet our creators or the source of our genetic warping? Where are we going? I mean, what is the purpose of being down here? I do believe in reincarnation. I do believe we do reincarnate. And so that the element of past lives is here too, along with the genetic memory. But so what is the ultimate destiny of mankind? Where are we going?
Well, I would like to think that we're going towards refinement to a way of living that's less toxic and less abusive and less poisonous and less dysfunctional, into a world where there's sharing and cooperation and supporting each other and working together and living on a higher ethic and where truth prevails rather than lies and deception and manipulation. And that would be my aspiration. And how far it goes, you can kind of speculate and dream of a perfect world. But my understanding is that I intuitively believe this change of consciousness and dimensions. Rationally, it's hard for me to grasp how it works. But as I understand it, you have the atom and you have the atomic shell, and there are different stratas in that shell, and it's a matter of just sort of jumping into the next shell, and you literally can enter another dimension. And, they're talking about timelines.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of through purity of consciousness and elevation of consciousness, you can actually shift timelines where you would be on this planet, but in a planet of cooperation and sharing with like souls who believe that rather than buying into the fear and toxicity. That's kind of what I'm trying to do, is clear myself and allow that process to evolve.
Well, that sounds like a plan. My new perceptions, and of course they change with every day, so you never know what it's going to be tomorrow. But my thought is, my feeling is that as a species, this is the planet where we're at. But that at some point in time, the species as a whole is going to come to a place and a time of understanding, love and compassion and empathy, and we won't have the need for politics or religions. And when that time comes, when that period of whatever comes, as far as what I have gathered, then the Earth, the planet itself, becomes a ship. And the Earth will shift to yet another dimension.
Right.
And take us with it.
That would be my understanding. Because I've always sort of been cosmically attuned, although not completely connected and not clearly. But one thing that is very, even scientifically speaking, it's not only a planetary shift. It's a systemic shift, meaning the whole solar system is going to change. And if you look out, just from point of science, things are happening on all the planets, and in storms on Jupiter, and changes of temperature, and events happening that traditional science has no grasp. All of the planets are showing various degrees of alteration and change. So it's a huge cosmic dance, and yes, I think we're a part of it, and I don't claim to understand it all, but I am a dancer, as I mentioned before, and
yes.
That's when also, my intent is to try to align with the cosmic dance and to go with the higher energies and move with that higher rhythm. That's my aspiration, and as I say, I'm working on diet, I'm working on clearing out attitudes and fears and that sort of thing, and trying to be available to do the dance when the higher consciousness calls. That's as best I can explain it, because I don't have the vocabulary or the clarity, to put it any more clearly. It's just an intuitive feeling, and I'm doing the things that I feel I should be doing to get there, and that's about as best I can say it.
Well, as we clear our own vibration and you know, looking at the fact that we have the chakras and you know, their energy vortexes within the human body, and you know, the body itself is just a vehicle for a spirit that is traveling through this time frame. And
so that
as you clear the body, as you clear the vehicle, then maybe your gas mileage is better, you live a longer life, and you're able to go further and learn more and stretch more deeply into the spirit that is carried within. Because I do believe that the spirit within is you know, immortal. It's eternal. It's been since the beginning. It will be until the end of time. I think that's the fact that so many, that's where so many people get lost, because it's this lifetime is it, and that's not the case. This is the stepping stone. This is a winter coat, you know, and next winter you'll have another coat. And that's what's so hard for most people to grasp, and it's hard for me to grasp too. You know, I look around
and it's hard to grasp eternality in a fixed body. You know, we're in a body that is limited in its. You know, we think of life and death, and we're in a mindset and in a 3D set that makes it hard to grasp eternity. But I'm sharing the same feeling. I'm calling it the ongoing self, or the perpetual atom. You know, it's that divine spark within us that is eternal and is perpetual, and it's aligning with that eternality and with what I call our true image. You know, because the Bible says we are created in the image of our Creator. And I think of that as that image being that perpetual atom, or that divine spark that is eternal, and working to understand that and to listen and to, it's a dance, you know, it's a rhythm.
Yeah.
And when it says move, you move. And when it says listen, you listen. And when it says go, you go. And that, you know, that's the metaphor I'm using, is that it's a cosmic dance. And I'd like to be invited.
Well, I think you are invited. It's just a matter of you know, learning the steps. I think when you go back to the Old Testament, and I'm just about discounting the Bible totally here, and you know, with no insult intended, but in the Bible, people theoretically lived hundreds and hundreds of years. And at some point, God left and said, you know, now you're not going to, you know, after Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, he said, now you're not going to live as long as you used to. And I'm wondering if this is all symbolic of the human spirit. And because I know our bodies theoretically are supposed to live about 120 years, and you know, for those that have not abused their bodies, you know, they do go longer. But it's sort of like, okay, just there has to be a purpose to it, you know. As far as I'm concerned, it's not just a dance through all of eternity. There has to be a purpose to it. Do you have any inclination what that purpose is?
Well, the closest I could say would be to be reunited with your perpetual self, and then it will be revealed. You know, beyond that, I'm not there.
Yeah, no, I'm not there either.
That would be my aspiration to make that connection, and through that connection, then I think that will be answered as best we are able to comprehend at the next level, for lack of a better word, of consciousness. Because I teach cosmology. You know, I have a book that's called Cosmic Doctrine, that it's been my Bible now for years, and it speaks of the unmanifest, which is by itself, that would be before creation. And I think of the unmanifest as a metaphor as the unconscious of God, meaning that which has not yet happened, but contains all that can be and all the power that is necessary and all the potential, but it hasn't happened. And the teaching very clearly says that because we are manifest and part of the manifestation, it is virtually impossible to comprehend the unmanifest. And I've sort of accepted that for the moment, you know, that it gets frustrating to try to comprehend these eternal things and infinite things and purity and perfection. But what we can do is enjoy being aligned with the proper rhythm and the proper moment. And in that moment comes an incredible joy of knowing I'm in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. I may not know where it's all going, but I feel really good being here. And that's the best I feel that I can do at this point. The rest is just, yeah. It just gets overwhelming and mind-boggling. And so I've kind of accepted that principle that I can't know all of God yet, but I can do the dance and embrace what I'm ready to embrace and be content in that moment. And that's sort of what I'm learning to do.
Yeah, I talk a lot about the fact that we don't have yet the vocabulary to describe where it is we're going. So we have to use the vocabulary of the moment. And it's so inadequate.
Metaphors are limiting too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you know, it's trying to explain to people that this is an interlude. This is not the beginning and the end. This is just, you know, a brief moment in an amazingly, exceptionally long journey, and it's meant to be celebrated. And I do believe it's meant to be celebrated. Some people choose not to.
I just hit deep down, yeah. To get out of the cycle of blame and the cycle of abuse and the cycle of shame and guilt and punishment and back to the cycle of joy and merriment and rhythm and dance and love and excitement and enthusiasm and clarity and less toxicity. I think that's exactly right. And that's what I think this year is about, is, you know, reconnecting to that vision and to the acceptance that we can have that again, and letting go of the fear and holding on to this toxic, poisonous, abusive world.
Yeah, and I think that you know, we are very capable of cleaning this up. I mean, we haven't. People talk about the fact that we are destroying the planet, and you know, we're probably on our way to. But the reality is, it will renew itself. It will, you know, be able to, I do believe the planet will survive humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say there's a wonderful video out there called Home, and it's on YouTube. It's H-O-M-E, and it's a profoundly gorgeous video that talks about the planet and how vast it is and how we haven't even come close to, you know, we're doing bad things to it. There's no doubt about it. But it is beautiful and whole, and there are still so many parts of the planet that haven't even been touched by humanity, so that the planet will survive us. And the planet, you know, is capable of being healthy again. And you know, I'm not, you know, probably it's even if we pull back now, it can improve the ozone layer. It can do all of that stuff. But it's a matter of you know, pulling ourselves to a small halt here and going in alternative directions so that the planet, you know, is going to be all right.
That's part of the awakening. I mean, it's just simple math. If you take all of the major countries in the world and the trillions of dollars that are spent on weapons and, you know, weapons and destruction and just take that money and turn it into, a process of regeneration and cleansing, and it could be done very, very rapidly.
Well, you're going to have to convince governments to do stuff that they just aren't made to do. So,
it's going to come from awakening of the people. If people honor the awakening is taking place, there will be more people awake than people afraid, and then governments are going to have to change because people won't put up with it anymore.
Well, from what I've seen, it does feel as though there is, when I was doing my predictions, I really found that it feels to me as though there's going to be a reorganization. I strongly believe that the government is going to have to change or be disbanded, and we're going to have to start again.
Yeah.
I'm coming real close to saying there's going to be civil unrest, because I do believe there's going to be, and I do believe that there's going to be a time in this year when it's going to be a little frightening for a short period of time, because I don't believe that the populace of this country especially will put up with any more lies and any more falsehoods and any more power struggles, avarice, or whatever. I think that the populace is going to, I think they're going to have to call out the National Guard.
Well, I see civil unrest also, and a change in the Guard, and it's already happening because, you know about BRIC, right? Brazil, Russia, Iran, and China have gone together, and they formed an entirely new economic base, and they're going to drop the petrodollar, and the American dollar is a global reserve. So that in itself is going to change the whole economic structure, and that in itself is going to put us into a whole revision of values and monetary systems and that sort of thing. So some are predicting then a decline in the dollar and collapse in the dollar, which of course would bring all the things you're describing. That is one possible reality.
Yeah,
I'm seeing unrest and discontent also, and the possibility of martial law and shutdown, and I think that is a 3D, a possible third dimension reality, and if enough people wake up, the transition to that could be much smoother than if people just live in the fear and accept it, and then we go into kind of a dark period of repression and total martial law and total repression and kind of a fascist or communist type of regime where, all freedom is shut down and we go into lockdown. I think it's standing at the threshold of awakening or kind of a dark cycle.
Yeah, but what I found was that may have to happen in order for people to wake up and understand. I know that there was a time when Patrick was alive that he said, "Oh, we have to grow our own food, because there's going to come a time where we're going to have to depend on what we can grow ourselves."
Absolutely. I think that's right at hand.
And I would tend to agree with you. And if the weather would just agree, people could probably do that. But the last couple of years, the weather hasn't even cooperated with us. And that's the other thing that I was so fascinated with. It did feel as though I know that HAARP is doing a lot of things with the weather. I know they're definitely responsible for a lot of the tsunamis and earthquakes that have happened. And I had heard, and this is something that I've been getting for probably the last, 6 months, maybe it's a little longer, I keep getting the feeling that the New Madrid line is going to become active again. It's going to become active because it's triggered by an explosion that's intentional.
Yeah, there are a lot of people saying that. I've felt for a while, I've had it in my predictions for 2 or 3 years, and it's a matter of time. And I think that, you know, when I'm assembling my information, I got the same feeling that we're going to have really a more erratic weather than ever, and like snowstorms in June and frost in August in a lot of the United States that normally would be 70 or 80 or 90 degrees.
Well, I know that all of nature is usually a cycle, but I have to say the last 3 years haven't really complied with any kind of cycle that I can recall. And it really feels as I know that the earthquake in Japan triggered, you know, we lost a couple of degrees as far as the tilt of the axis, but my feeling is that there's something else coming, I'm pretty sure that the United States is not going to escape scot-free here. I mean, we've had incredible storms. I mean, our nor'easters and the hurricanes and stuff like that. But I kind of think there's something more severe coming, and I'm not sure what it is.
I do too. I came to the same conclusion that there very likely will be quakes in the United States in places that would not be expected. And one of the things I got is that Mount Rainier may begin to fuss and fume again.
That would be unfortunate.
Well, could be, especially if it goes big, you know.
Yeah, well, I think that the New Madrid, when it went last time, was an 8, almost 9 points on the Richter scale.
Yeah.
In 1811 and 12, I think it was, or 12 and 13, I forget which.
Something like
but
that,
it,
yeah.
It was in the 18-teens. And I know that it was felt all the way in Boston and in Pennsylvania. And
rang church bells in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it definitely shook us all up. And there was no huge population at that time. And it was devastating. So that if the New Madrid line was activated within the next year or two or wherever, I keep getting the feeling that it's going to be triggered, and it feels like it's going to be triggered. I almost want to say intentionally.
Well, there are a lot of people saying that. If you scan the net, that there's a lot of people that feel that way. And these are people who are, you know, ex-intelligence and military and government people who are saying the same thing. So it's kind of scary if someone would do that to us, but very possible.
I've been feeling
a quake in the Northwest. I lived in the Northwest, you know, I grew up in the Northwest, and I lived there for 15 years, and one of the reasons I moved is I felt a quake coming in the Northwest. You know, this was about 3 years ago. I began to feel it getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
And I still feel that it's imminent, that it could happen any time. Maybe not the big one, but enough, you know, to like a 6.5 or 6.2, enough to shut down the highways and close the bridges. And I was living in the Portland, Vancouver area, and if the bridges go down between, you know, over the Columbia River and that area, Portland's in a deadlock. And, I'd like to be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I do feel the Northwest is getting closer and closer to maybe not a huge one, but enough to be pretty disturbing to the way of life.
Well, yeah, and the other thing that is kind of scary is Yellowstone. That's a super
well,
volcano.
Well, if that one
there.
Goes, we can all say bye-bye. I mean, if that one goes big, then, you know, I mean, that's global. We're going into global extinction type of thing. So that one just, you know, if it happens, it happens. You can't. There's not very many places to run unless you're in with the elite, you know, and they talk about entire underground cities that are being built by the elite to protect themselves from that possibility.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, I think the Bushes bought property down in South America someplace a huge compound. Of course, yeah. Something like that happens. You kind of wonder how the heck do they expect to get there. I have a feeling that it's going to be deadlocked.
If Yellowstone goes, we're talking about 100 years or so. I don't dwell on that too much because either hopefully I'll be gone by then or, I'll be gone when it happens because I'm sitting about 150 miles away, so that means I'd be fried within, 10 minutes or so.
Well, I don't think Yellowstone's going to go, but I do go along with you on the West Coast having a major earthquake, and I do think that we are overdue on the New Madrid line, and I think that's going to do, something is going to happen with the New Madrid line.
I've been feeling that for 2 or 3 years. I had it in my predictions, I think 2011, I do too. It just feels like it's just on edge and could go anytime.
Well, when I looked into it, when I started to get the feelings about it, I looked into the fact that because of all of the explosives that are being used on the oil rigs in the Gulf, that they have in many ways weakened the bottom of the sea, the land there at the mouth of the Mississippi,
that's pretty well known that they've cracked it, and there's an ongoing leak. It wasn't contained. That the Gulf is basically dead. That's pretty well known, to those who watch and observe carefully without buying into the mainstream of evasiveness. It's a serious, serious problem.
Well, I think it's going to get more serious. And, I worry about New Orleans because New Orleans is, that's at sea level. And it's a beautiful, beautiful city. Don't get me wrong. But it's definitely... would I visit it? Absolutely. But would I live there? I don't think so.
Precarious.
Definitely.
Precarious. But
I think that one of the most exciting things really about this next year is going to be the awakening and the new understanding that is coming into all people who are spiritually oriented. I mean, we've talked about the physical stuff and those that are locked in the physical. It's going to be tough here, but those who are of a spiritual orientation, I think you're going to have the most spectacular year ever.
I agree. That would be the bright side. I agree that if, people get through their fear and open up to the higher consciousness, it's tapping into the archetypes on all kinds of levels. So that means, new breakthroughs in technology, breakthroughs in spirituality, breakthroughs in healing. I mean, you sort of see it now. I've been watching the... these reality shows, the talent shows that, have singers and performers that are appearing. Well, they're all over the world now, and I've been watching, the people come on, and it's just beyond belief extraordinary, the beautiful talent that people have all over the world. And that's part of the awakening is the joy and the ability and the potential, and to me that's just... You see them doing things that just defy gravity and defy our way of thinking, and they sing like angels. Some of these 11-year-olds and 6-year-olds, all over the world.
With the
voices that are just incredible. And whether you don't even have to know the language, just say, "My God, that's beautiful." You're just lifted up into the heavens. And this is part of it, and I think that, we know that technology has been controlled. We know that free energy has been around for years, but they've, buried it, and we know that anti-gravity machines and time travel machines have been around, and they've buried it into black ops programs, and it comes a point where, enough people start to remember this, to build, hydrogen cars and anti-gravity devices and and free energy devices and let go of the yoke of control. And I think that I agree that, you know, we're just on the threshold of just an extraordinary breakthroughs in understanding and on every facet of medicine, science, spirituality, entertainment, dance, singing, human skills, you know, beyond belief, human potential.
Well, I think what is also, you know, I saw coming for those who are of a spiritual orientation, it's a time for departure from the structure, and it's a time to move into allowing yourself to flourish with the passions and the talents that you've carried through time. You know, all of us have this wonderful awareness, and every person on this planet has a master teacher inside of them, fully aware, fully conscious, fully cognizant, and having to work through our personalities and our ego to manifest within reality. And what I'm finding is that people are starting to understand that the answer is within. It's not without. It's within. And it's just, for me, it's such a cool thing. I am finding that I'm rubbing elbows with and up next to people who are talking about channeling Master so and so and Master so and so and Archangel so and so, and I keep saying, you know, you're channeling that consciousness. You're not channeling an individual. And they kind of look at me strangely, and I say, I don't doubt for a moment that you have that level of consciousness available to you. But it's not a person there. It's a consciousness. It's a level of understanding you're tapping into and you're drawing from. And it's magnificent, but it's not the person.
It's kind of greater than the ego and greater than the individuality. You know, it's an archetype. It's an oversoul or a greater consciousness than you and I and our little individuality that's happening too. You know,
And it's so cool because
that's the beautiful part of it.
I mean, I'm seeing people that, you know, I say, why don't you try writing? Why don't you try channeling? Everybody has the ability. Everybody has the talent. And a lot of people are. They're opening that door to that part of themselves that is pure creative energy. And what comes out is magnificent.
Beautiful, I'm seeing that in my work with individual clients and myself. I'm working on, you know, expanding the channel and reconnecting to the universal self and to the, you know, the higher self. And as I say, I'm getting all kinds of inspiration. I'm writing songs and I've got visions of new books. I'm seeing a whole new picture of my own professional potential. And it's grasping these higher archetypes and dancing with them and embracing them and bringing them into life. And if enough people do that, you can't, light will reveal the darkness and these people can't hide in the shadows and deceive anymore because people will see right through it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I'm seeing happening. People are, they are beginning to have the awareness of, okay, you know, people's intentions, the strings, their agendas. They're beginning to see that aspect in other people and in themselves as well. And in doing so, you know, there's a new light in the world. And I am, you know, I would say that 2014 has to be a time where that light shines so much more brightly than it has in the past, because there is so much excitement about understanding things a little more better than they had in the past.
Yeah. Well, it struck me just, I was working on it last night, and then I was working, preparing this morning, and I hit on an issue that it comes back to me also that part of this is the awakening of creativity, and that includes, you know, when I work with people, I say creativity is sexuality, and sexuality is creativity. And there's a whole new aspect of the seven that I would like to see, encourage and see, and that is the awakening of the feminine energy in men, but particularly the awakening of the higher feminine energy of the woman, her sense of power, her vision, her strength, her compassion, those qualities, you know, because you and I know and everyone knows that it's been that males have tried to control the feminine energy on the planet for years and have purposely tortured and killed and eliminated powerful women because they've been afraid of them. And so women have become, you know, afraid of doing that because of the abuse. And I see that all the time in reading the karma of women having been part of the Inquisition of the Catholic Church and the elimination of witches, you know, back through centuries and in many cultures. And it's, and I think that, you know, what's really scary now is that they're trying to keep women weakened through, if you observe, through pornography and there's a whole sexual program now trying to make women, reduce women to sexual objects and, prepare them to be objects of gratification for the male pleasure and that sort of thing. It's happening all over the globe and, the trafficking and that sort of thing. And I think that, you know, if women wake up to their true intuitive power and speak their truth and collectively wake up and stop this pattern, that's where, you know, just a huge evolution can take place. It's through that intuitive feminine, loving, nurturing, embracing, compassionate side. And that's what I would like to see is, and it isn't just, you know, necessarily one powerful woman, although there will have to be spokesmen, just a collective embrace of the feminine energy and within men embracing their feminine energy and not being frightened and not controlling and not, afraid of losing the male ego and that whole pattern that has gone on this planet for tens of thousands of years.
Well, I find that I'm seeing also, I wanted to ask you about this. And it does deal with women, so it does sort of stay to the topic. When women get to be 50, they go into what has been phrased their crone stage. And 50 seems to be a time when most women do go into a time of getting into their spiritual journeys, their development, and things like that. Now, is the 50, is the 5 somehow relevant to that? Is there something with the number 5 that would say that
absolutely. 50 would be very significant numerologically because 5 is the number of humanity. 5 is the number of experience. It is the number of sexuality. It is the number of sensuality. It is the number of all the senses. It is the number of life and the number of humanity. So 5 with the 0 would be understanding your full humanity, which means the divine human as well as the physical limited human. So absolutely, you know, the 50 would be very significant in terms of expanding into the reality that I am divine. I connect to the potential of the universe. I embrace that. I embrace the knowing, bringing in the higher and newer energies and then implementing them. So, you know, yeah, it would be exactly symbolic of what you're describing.
Well, I'm finding that I am noticing that women really do come into that time frame where it's sort of like, okay, I've been a mother and I've been a wife and I've done all of that stuff, but now what more is there? Where do I go from here? And I usually say to them, this is so exciting. This is the time that is yours. And this is where you take your magic and you bring it into reality and you make your mark. And, you know, I sometimes get very, you know, strange looks from people. But the reality is...
There's so much fear with that, because for so many thousands of years when women have done that, they've been singled out and, you know, they've been tortured and punished and had rocks thrown at them and unimaginable atrocities. And, well, you know, it's kind of scary. And the comic head, if I acknowledge that and come out into the world with that, it's going to happen again. And so, it's a collective kind of, if enough do that, then, you know, then with that awakening, I think if men embrace their intuitive side and honor that and work harmoniously with that feminine energy instead of trying to control it and contain it and destroy it, that is where I think just a huge burst in evolution has the possibility of taking place.
Well, I've found this often with women, but is there an equivalent for men? I mean, do men come at the age 50 into that same kind of awareness or need or desire to change reality and go someplace else?
I can't answer that. I would say if they do, they're more inclined to shut it down and go and stay in the third dimension.
Okay.
You know, because it's scary to men as well, but, you know, especially in our culture, it's scary for men to embrace their feminine side.
Uh-huh.
And when they do, more often than not, it scares the crap out of them because, well, I'm going to have to lose control. Well, this is not logical. Well, this doesn't make sense. It's getting, you know, it's irrational. I don't know what to do with it. So I can't answer that because, more often than not, men either shut it down or they put it into a rational system and control it, you know, rather than intuitive system and expanding. And that's why I think that this year is very, very important, because if both men and women embrace that intuitive side, and bring back in that feminine side to the mind, you know, because seven is the rational mind, which we know has controlled the planet, well, certainly since Greece and Rome and through Europe and the development of Western culture. And to some extent, even in the Eastern cultures, you know, the male energy still, is in control. And for example, you know, in China for years, a female child was thrown out into the dung heap because, you know, it had no worth. That's changing
right.
A little bit. But so if you know, collectively we embrace now the intuitive side of the seven, higher energies, as I say, new spiritual truths, extraterrestrial connections, honoring the archetypes, listening to the hierarchy, and embracing that feminine expansion, it could be just a huge blossom and just a bursting of awakening. But, you know, it's moving through the control and the heavy male control and disinformation and propaganda and manipulation. It's going to be a real struggle between light and dark.
I want to emphasize, you know, most people who are going to tune into the show and listen to it, whether they're there now or in archive, are basically spiritually oriented. They're looking for, you know, insight, and they're looking for understanding. And you know, I put the cosmic doctrine into the chat room so that people can check it out.
Cool.
Because
yeah,
it looks like a really great book.
It's so extraordinary. You know, I've read that book I started in the 70s, and I've taught the esoteric cosmology since then. And I think I mentioned this before, that in around the 80s, there was a book called Superforce, and it was the very latest at that time in quantum physics, but put into a language for the layman. And it's virtually, you know, it was just almost exactly the same teaching as was in this book, which was channeled in 1923, I believe, or 29. And even, I don't have Science Channel right now, but a couple of years ago, you know, I had Science Channel on my cable, and I would watch the very, very latest cosmology and science. And they would say, well, cosmologists have come to the realization that da, 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 da. And I just sat there and I would say, well, they finally got that one, because it was in this book, you know, 80 years ago now, let's see, 23. Yeah, 80 years ago, just, she was writing the very same thing. And so it is. It's just, you know, for me, it's my Bible, and it's just another way of looking at truth that if it's meant for that individual, it's an extraordinary eye-opener, meaning the inner eye as well as the intellectual eye.
Well, you know, there's so much material out there, and for the most part, a lot of it is saying, you know, this is the way, this is the only way, and it's to me, it's upsetting and frightening, because there isn't just one way. There's as many different ways as there are people on this planet. But the cool thing is that awareness and awakening and understanding, we all hack our own pathways. We don't follow somebody else's, but there are a lot of books out there that give us tools that we can use to hack the path.
And I
think that your book, The Heart of Numerology, is one of those books, because, you know, you give them the tools and they can apply it as is appropriate to themselves. It's not meant to be this is the only way. And I so appreciate the fact that, you know, you have put the spiritual aspects into it, so that people can actually, you know, so that there is a feeling of, okay, this person isn't really hardcore physical reality. This is somebody that has some insight into the fact that there is another realm out there and that it is a part of our reality.
Yeah. Well, that's what I tried to do, and you know, I've always incorporated the cosmology into it for those who do feel that that is the direction they want to go. And I tried to simplify it and present it in a way that, you know, that if that's their avenue, that catches their attention, and then if they want to go deeper, then you know, then I would suggest Cosmic Doctrine. It's pretty heavy reading, but I started in the 70s, you know, and I read it, like, some of it, like, 100 times or more, and I just get confused and shut the book, and then, but now I come back and look at it, and I read it, and it's all of a sudden, it's like, bing, because I'm in a completely different place than I was, you know, in 1977 or so when I began to read it, and
I think that's appropriate, because as we evolve, as we really, you know, and I keep telling people that becoming more spiritual means you're working on yourself. You're not working on other people. You're working on yourself. And the more you work on yourself, the more you deal with your own issues, with your own philosophies, with your own precepts, it's the going inside that allows you to expand outside.
It doesn't
happen any other way. People just give me sometimes the weirdest look when I say, you know, go within, because that's where all the answers are. They're all there.
That's my message too. You know, virtually everyone I see, and you know, I'm sure that it's similar with you. I'm attracting the people who come to me individually are just at the threshold of awakening, and more often than not, they're really caught in the dark side, and that's where I am pretty efficient, because that, you know, as a therapist, I've worked in that, and in my own life, I've dealt, you know, wrestled with that, so that I'm pretty helpful in addressing it and hopefully making it less fearful and giving them more confidence to plunge through it, and then come out of it on the other side with a much greater light, you know, and when you see that, that's the blessing of being a consultant and an intuitive guide, you know, you see them come out on the other side and they're they're just, you know, radiant and confident and joyful, and that's possible, but it's not easy to go through that.
No. I had a client just the other day who said, I'm ready. I'm absolutely ready to have a relationship. And I'm thinking, well, if you were really ready, then you'd have one. And, you know, kind of like trying to explain that maybe there was some refinement. No, I'm ready. And it was like, I don't, you know, you don't say, no, you're not.
Yeah. Well, I'm going through a two-personal year, and two-personal year has a lot to do with mother and grandmother and your own feminine side. And I thought the same thing. You know, I've been kind of looking for someone, and I thought I was ready. And then, you know, my mother did die. And then, as I said, I thought I was working on one that was going to last, and I got deeply rejected. And I'm saying, whoa, what's going on here? And it just opened up a whole level of fear of my own feminine energy and not trusting her and not honoring her and, you know, and putting her off. And then I began to see other past lives and karmic patterns. And I'm still working on that one myself, but it's opening up now, whereas I've been in denial. You know, I'm 70 now, and I thought I was pretty clear, and it's like, oh, crapola. Here we go again.
But you know, it's really cool because, you know, you get to a level where you think, okay, this has to be ground zero. Now I can start building. And before you know what's happening, you turn around and you realize this is not ground zero. I have work to do yet. And it's, you know, back to the mine. And it's. I think, though, you need to have a good sense of humor about it. You truly do.
Well,
And I think that's where most people, they fall down on this. And those people who declare they're ready, please, if you were ready, you'd have a relationship. If you don't have one, then you're not ready, and you still have work to do. It's really that simple.
Kind of how it works. Yeah, kind of how it works.
And it's sort of, I keep telling people that the more joyful you are, the more celebrative you are of the light within, the more you will attract someone who is similar to you. And
exactly.
they do not, it's, you know, the real truths, those absolute pearls that are just absolutely fabulous are so simple, most people ignore them. They want to go through a ritual.
Amen.
And,
me too. I've done it too.
And it's so easy. All you have to do is be content within your life. And if you're not content, then do the work and get there. It's that easy.
It's simple, but it's not that easy.
Well, of course not. If it were, we'd all be in perfect relationships.
The truth is simple, but it's not easy as a human to get to that, because I would agree. You know, I went through having to face kind of my own arrogance and stubbornness recently, because I've had just, you know, as I said, the astral cartography said that being here, my intuition would be really clear and accurate, and it has been. You know, my work has been superb, and I kept listening to that information go by, and then it hit me again. You know, it's like, yoo-hoo, man, you really offer good insight. You might want to listen. It's like, and I finally realized, you know, I've done this 50,000 times for 50,000 people because I'm so friggin' stubborn. I couldn't see it for myself. And I've had to just stop now and say, you know, time to apply it and listen to your own truth and do it, you know, and it's working.
Well, isn't that's part of, you know, being human? And I think those of us who are in the field, those of us who read for others, those of us who give advice, I mean, the reality is, and I tell people all the time, I listen very carefully to what I say because it always applies to me as well. And you know, if it's sort of like that's how I get readings. I don't go for them. I give them and I get the reading, you know, as I'm giving it to another person. And it just is to me so phenomenal that every now and then I catch myself going, uh-oh, what am I saying here? And it's like, damn, you know,
yeah.
I have to work on that too. And
yeah.
You do, you back up. But I love the fact that, you know, we draw people to us that need to hear what we need to hear.
Yeah.
And they trigger that awareness within ourselves. And then it's a matter of what are you going to do with this information? And I'm finding that these days I'm sort of wrestling personally with, okay, you know, I have this show, I have Nightlight Show where we do the readings. I'm working on a magazine with Bear, and I'm part of the magazine that'll come out sometime in January, I think. But there has to be more, and I'm sitting back saying, okay, what more is there? What more can I do? I still do the 70 fairs a year. I'm traveling now, and I'm doing readings in other areas of the country. But it feels like there's something else, too. And
yeah,
I'm just sort of waiting for that something. I mean, if it's writing a book, I have a book in mind. But the last time I had a book in mind, I published something different. So it's a matter of, okay, if it's a book.
I think that's part of the awakening. I think we all have that, you know, that there is something we're here to do. And as we used to say in church, we're getting the calling. And me too,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I mean, people would look at me. I've published several times. I've got degrees. And they would say, well, as an accomplished person, and I don't want to discount that. But at the same time, me too. There's something more. There's something greater. There's something that I'm feeling too that needs to be said, that I'm capable of giving and capable of doing, and then I'm working on my own fears and my own insecurities and all of the same things that, you know, that I tell my clients, just like you said.
Well, I think too, part of it is I have found and discovered that it has to be new, because there have been some things that have kind of been open to me, and I've looked at them and I've said, you know, I could do that, and I could do that easily, and I'd probably have fun doing it, but I've been there and I've done that, and I think I need to find something new and different.
Yeah. I'm calling it the higher archetypes, you know? It is new. It's a different layer or a different level. It's truth, but revealed in a different way. Just like these performers, you know, the voice and the, you know, like they have, you know, acrobats and people that do, you know, physical things and dancers. That, I mean, they do movements that if you watch like a dancer, you know, like on Ed Sullivan in the 1950s, you know, like Fred Astaire or some of those. Well, that was great then. But you look at some of these young people coming on these shows now and what they're doing with their body, and they defy physics and gravity and logic in extraordinary things that they're doing. And that's what it is. It's a refinement. It's another dimension. And we're all waking up, and if each of us does that, just think what a glorious and grand world this could be right here in this dimension.
Oh, absolutely. And it's really been fascinating for me because while some of the stuff that has opened up, you know, it's kind of like I've been there, I've done that, but I don't want to lock myself into that because I want to have the freedom to do. And you put it perfectly. I say it all the time too. I know that there is a calling, and I'm pretty sure it's not a wrong number. I just don't know what, you know. I haven't clicked into it yet, but it has to be different. It can't be the same as anything else. Although my website is going through an amazing facelift, and in so doing, I am, you know, going through a lot of the stuff and saying, wow, that was interesting, and I'm glad I did that. But now there has to be a new dimension, a new level, a new aspect here.
I'm going to have to do that also.
You know, the lady, the Bear Medicine Walker, is doing it, and she's doing a phenomenal job. I mean, I am just... I am awestruck by her creativity and how good she's making me look.
My children are getting after me, too. That, you know, I've kind of held on to an old attitude, and my children are getting on to me that mine also, everything that I present is going through transformation. I'm thinking about possibly turning over what I've done to my children because I'm on the threshold of something new, and I'm getting an insight about a completely new and different way of presenting myself professionally that would kind of, you know, I don't have to totally let go of the past, but embrace a new vision and a new title and a new way of presenting.
Oh, yeah. And I have to admit, it's very exciting. And it's sort of
scary.
Like, it's very scary.
It's like I say to my clients, the higher we go, the closer we get to our truth or to our true self or our higher self, we go equal and opposite into the unconscious and the dark side and clear out that part of ourselves that we have hidden from and do not like about ourselves for the longest time. You know, that's karma. And we still are dual creatures, and we still have dark and light, and we're still wrestling with those issues.
Well, yeah, and once you stop wrestling, then you go on to the next dimension where I would assume you continue to wrestle at a different level.
Well, yeah, it's debatable how far the dark side goes up to the dimensions, but, you know, there for now, we still have that element of our hidden and dark self that we wrestle with, and that's part of it too, is recognizing that. And the thing that I find myself experiencing now and telling clients is the most important thing is to be around people who are also awakening and who are sincere in their desire to grow, because it's very, very difficult to do it alone.
It is, and you know, you made a very good point there, and I think the other thing, it's very important to surround yourself with cheerleaders, with people who have positive attitudes, with people who are, looking at the positive and cheering you on, and you know, if you fall flat on your face, they'll help you get up and pick up the pieces, but the reality is you keep going, And so many times we get stuck in relationships where the other person just, it isn't that they're not evolved. It's that they are not looking at the light. They're not looking at the joy in the world, in life. And you can never be so joyful that you have enough to make up for someone else's lack of it. I fell into that conundrum. I had a marriage where my husband at that time was very depressed, and I kept thinking, I have enough joy for the both of us. We're fine. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. I did find that out. But I think one of the most exciting times I have ever had the pleasure of being involved in, because I guess I see the excitement that is there for the entire, for humanity as a whole, especially those who are on the pathways, those that are trudging ahead spiritually. It's really such an exciting time, and it feels as though it's a time where no matter how awake you are, you're not all the way awake yet. So there's another level that I think one of the biggest jokes I ever hear is people who say, well, this is my last lifetime. And it's like, oh, sure, right. I mean, your spirit's coming back, maybe not your personality, but your spirit will be back. And it's sort of like the point of being here is to evolve and to grow and to learn and to share. And you know, it's kind of like it's an exciting process.
Yeah, it really is.
And all of us have
it
so
really
far
is.
Yet
you
to
know,
go.
It's hard for me to see the other side. I sit here with clients and as I'm I attract people, as I say, that are on the threshold but wrestling with their dark side, because, you know, I've done that for years and I'm particularly skilled. And I'll say, I know it's difficult, I know it's going to be rough, but I'm looking at where you come out on the other side, and it's really wonderful. And they have a hard time seeing that, you know. And I mean, sometimes myself, I get caught up in my own drama and my own struggle and my own fear, and I don't see the other side for myself, you know. And we have to be reminded, it's really excited when we get there, and it's really worth working for.
And you know what I find, it's always so exciting to do 2 hours like we're doing today, to be able to talk to somebody else who has the same, you know, I'm sure there are places where we disagree, but you know, the general philosophy is there, and it's the same philosophy. It's you know, humanity is going to make it in spite of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, someday, but I, you know, I have no doubts at all that you know, however many generations or millennium it takes, I'm sure we'll be there to see it, and it will be such a joy to actually see it all come together, then to see a major transformation. Because certainly when that time does come, and of course I don't have the vocabulary to describe it now because I've never seen it before or I don't remember, when the planet as a whole is transformed, and you know, all of us are you know, at a point where we get it. And, you know, we think we get it. We think we know kind of what it is we're getting, but we really don't have any clue right at the moment. But but we're starting.
Well, it's more than a start. I think we're closer than we realize, but it's just like in consciousness. You know, when you're dealing with the dark side, overwhelming at times and depressing and scary. And I think as a planet we're there, you know, we're looking at the dark side and it's overwhelming and scary. But just as the individual takes the leap, if the planet takes that leap, it could come pretty fast and it could just blossom so quickly. And that is a potential for the coming year. I, you know, from a human point of view and looking at the control in the planet, I'm not too optimistic. But from a spiritual point of view, it is possible, and you know, the planet will come out at the end of next year transformed in some manner. I don't know what level it will take or how grand it will be. But
Let me ask you something. Now I know this is a 7, then 2015 is an 8, and 2016 is a 9. A 9 is a year of completion, I do believe. Now, is that when you know, if we're looking cosmically at a big picture as opposed to an independent, you know, singular picture? So 2016 should be a time when things come to closure, when some of the bad stuff just has to, you know, be put away, put aside. Is that a time when?
Well, I haven't reached out that far to look at it in detail, but from a personal point of view, 9 is letting go of those things in your life that does no longer work in order to allow the new to come in. So when I first started in this work, you know, back in the late 60s and early 70s, you know, I would observe when people went through the 9 year, and in my own life, it could be hell, you know. Deaths and delays and depression and plagues and locusts and they were rough, you know. But then my perception has changed, and over time it doesn't. The 9 year still is a cleansing year. But if you clear, as I tell my clients, if you clear the crap out in the 9 year, then after repression and depression comes revelation, and 9 is the dream, and 9 is the possibility, and 9 is the state of a, you know, of having dreams come true. So it 9 to 9 year from a planetary point of view could be really hell, you know, getting rid of the crap. But with the rebirth and revelation, a huge transformation. That's the potential. I haven't looked ahead, quite honestly. I haven't pondered 2016. It's rough enough getting through 2013.
No, I got you. But you know, I was looking ahead because 7 is always the year with my personal things. You know, I know a 7 year is going to be an upheaval.
You off and on.
And so, you know, it was kind of like, all right, so I usually, when 7 years come around, I usually know life is going to change radically here somehow.
Yeah, it usually does. 7 years could be pretty tumultuous when you're going through the 7 personal year. Mm-hmm. They often can be pretty dramatic and pretty tumultuous, and particularly in your ideas and emotions and that sort of thing, because it's breaking up dogma both on a collective level and individual level, and rigidity and holding on to rational logic and tradition when maybe it's time to let something new come in. As it will be going on with the planet, you know, in the coming year.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be. I'm still looking.
It's actually exciting. It's a potential for it to be a really exciting and extraordinary year.
Yeah, I'm actually truly looking forward to it. Also, the fact that we are now going to, or obviously, be in archives, so that probably come this time next year, I'm going to revisit the show and just sort of listen to it, and of course, get you on to do.
I'm thinking we should get together in December of next year and see how we did, and then we can look at 2015.
Yeah, I think that we're going to have to make a yearly thing of this, because we haven't been specific, and I don't like to do, you know, so-and-so's going to get a divorce and so-and-so's going to have a baby and things like that. But more generally, as far as the political situations, and I think specifically I'm looking very much towards the Catholic Church to see what they come out with in the next year, because I think that's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, there will be some announcements that are going to shake up tradition at a minimum.
Well, I'm glad for that. I think that's fabulous. But I just noticed the time, and we're getting close to the end here. I want to thank you so much. You are just always such a joy to talk to.
Yeah, it's been great.
And we're going to have to do this
again. December. We'll come back next December and see how we did and look at 2015.
Yeah, hopefully we will have a modicum of success.
If we haven't been taken up on the big ship.
If the mothership doesn't come, don't think that's happening. Don't worry about it. But I want to thank you so much, because I know that you just have so damn much wisdom and knowledge of all of this stuff. It's tough to almost even stay on track, because you know, you're so easy to go off track with, but you certainly and I'll have to check out your what was the book on astrology that just came out?
Numerology of Astrology, Degrees of the Sun.
Okay.
It's on Amazon now. It's listed on Amazon. If you type it in that way, it'll come up on Amazon, or you know, it'll direct you to my publisher.
Okay, I will make sure that I check that out. I have a couple of good friends that are astrologers. It sounds like a great Christmas present.
Oh, yeah, and I'd be curious to get their feedback.
I definitely. I will make sure that happens. Lynn, thanks so much again, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye-bye now.
Yeah.
Bye. Okay, everybody. That was so cool. I so enjoyed that. I kind of forgot we were doing a radio show there for a while. Thank you so much for everybody for being here, for listening. I hope you took notes. It was really, he's one of the most amazing men ever, and he knows his numbers like no tomorrow. And his books are fascinating. Heart of Numerology is the one that I would recommend. It's an amazing, amazing book, and it is just a phenomenal insight, and if you start reading it, you're going to find out suddenly you're doing numbers for everybody you know. It's a fabulous, fabulous book. I highly recommend it, and him as well. He's an amazing person. His website is forevernumerology.com, and mine is, of course, very hard to remember, barbaradelong.com. Thank you for being here. I so thoroughly enjoyed this time, and I'm glad to have shared it with all of you. So take care, everybody, and I will be talking to you next week. Bye-bye now.